Imagine you are just, sitting at your desk right now. You type a highly complex, incredibly important query into your computer, maybe forecasting a critical event for your business, and you hit enter.
Just a normal day at the office.
Yeah, exactly. But instead of just referencing a data set and calculating probabilities, your machine physically splits reality into parallel universes to find the answer.
Oh, and then just to keep things computationally tidy, it stores that answer on the event horizon of a microscopic black hole.
Which, I mean, that completely shatters the baseline assumption of what happens when you press a button on a keyboard.
It really does. It's completely wild.
It sounds like the climax of a sci-fi blockbuster, right? But today, we are looking at a theoretical document that treats this as a literal blueprint. So, welcome to today's deep dive.
Glad to be here.
For you listening, we've got a stack of notes detailing a framework called OmniPASM, and that stands for Omniversal Probability Assembly Language.
Yes. And the source material outlines this massive, profound upgrade from standard statistical computing into, well, a transdimensional architecture.
Right, because it merges theoretical physics with computer science using these frameworks called Paradox Laying and ODE CCT.
It is incredibly dense material.
Yeah.
I mean, very heavy on the math.
Oh, absolutely.
But the core premise is unavoidable. We are looking at the death of the traditional microchip.
Which is huge.
Right. We are exploring what happens when a programming language stops calculating what might happen and starts physically manipulating the topology of the multiverse to determine what will happen.
Which is why our mission today is to be your guide through this architecture. We're going to unpack this without getting lost in the theoretical void, hopefully.
We'll try our best.
And we're going to extract how this framework completely redefines what a computer even is. Because to understand OmniPASM, we basically have to look at how we've been doing things wrong, or at least how we've been artificially limiting ourselves.
Yeah, to set the stage, think about classical computing or even early probabilistic computing like standard PASM.
Right.
When your current laptop encounters uncertainty, it relies on classical probability distributions within a single linear timeline.
Okay, let's unpack this. Like, if I'm running a simulation, say, predicting the path of a hurricane, and my traditional computer hits a variable where it doesn't know exactly what the storm will do, it essentially rolls a die, right?
Exactly. It uses a command the document calls Mies to randomly sample a probability distribution and, well, pick a likely path.
So it's just guessing.
That is the standard mechanism, yes.
Yeah.
It is fundamentally an educated guess trapped in one single reality.
Wow.
You run the simulation thousands of times, rolling that die over and over, and you average the results. But OmniPASM throws that entire concept out the window.
Completely.
Yeah, it replaces that random dice roll with a mechanism called multiverse branching.
The text calls it the MWSPLIT instruction. And this is where my mind really started to bend, because the source says it uses Everettian branching to split the execution thread.
Right.
It's not generating data, it's actually branching parallel worlds.
It is a literal split. Instead of rolling a die to decide whether the hurricane goes left or right,
Right.
OmniPASM triggers a localized quantum event.
Okay.
And that event splits the execution thread into parallel realities. It maintains quantum coherence across these worlds.
So in one isolated reality, the storm goes left.
And in another, it goes right. Yes.
Wait, hold on. You're losing me a bit. We just went from basic software to quantum mechanics. How does computer code physically split a universe?
It's a great question.
Because the document mentions this runs on a paradox engine that isolates these branches in completely separate Hilbert spaces. What actually is a Hilbert space in the context of my laptop?
That is the crucial friction point for a lot of people. Think of a Hilbert space not as a physical room, but as like a mathematical quarantine
In a
zone.
quarantine zone. Okay.
Yeah. In standard physics, if two quantum realities interact, they collapse into one that's called decoherence.
Right, they kind of mush together.
Exactly. So the paradox engine's entire job is to create an absolute vacuum around the computation.
Oh, I see.
It allows the AI to process multiple trajectories in completely isolated mathematical arenas where these different parallel realities can play out without bumping into each other and collapsing prematurely.
So the computer just isn't guessing anymore, like at all.
Never. That is the massive paradigm shift for you listening to grasp. This moves computing from stochastic probability to absolute multi-reality exploration.
It's just wild.
You aren't hoping your software guesses the right answer. You are systematically forcing it to explore every literal reality where an answer exists, simultaneously.
All right, but this immediately brings up a huge, terrifying logistical problem, I think.
Well, I know where you're going with this.
Right. If my code is suddenly branching into infinite parallel universes, generating infinite streams of data, where in the multiverse do you store all that?
You can't.
Yeah, because flat, linear RAM, the memory sticks inside our devices. That has to be totally obsolete. You can't put infinite universes on a flat piece of silicon.
You absolutely cannot. If we have infinite data, we run into a physical wall, which is thermodynamic heat.
Right. Computing gets hot.
Exactly. Computing costs energy. If you try to process transdimensional data on a two-dimensional grid, you would burn the universe to a crisp trying to power it.
So OmniPSM has to completely reimagine hardware using what it calls transdimensional registers.
Yes.
And the document breaks these down. First, you have bulk registers, or R-bulk, and these hold n-dimensional superposition states.
Right, the really complex stuff.
Yeah, the text specifically mentions Calabi-Yau manifolds, which are these incredibly complex, folded, multidimensional shapes from string theory.
Imagine trying to comprehend a shape that folds in on itself in 11 different directions at once.
I can't even picture three most days.
Right. The bulk register is that higher dimensional space where these complex parallel realities actually evolve.
Okay.
But as we just noted, doing the actual math in that 11-dimensional space, the 3D or 4D bulk, is wildly inefficient. The thermodynamic energy required to flick a bit in 11 dimensions is astronomical.
Which brings us to the boundary registers, or forebound. The text says these are a 2D holographic projection of the Warbulk storing data at the Bekenstein limit.
Which is the absolute maximum amount of the data you can cram into a physical space?
Yeah, and when I read this, my first thought was, wait, is this just a cosmic zip file? Like, it's just compressing the data to save space?
A cosmic zip file is tempting. It's a good visual, but it misses the actual mechanism.
Okay, what?
Because a zip file implies you eventually have to unzip it to work with the data.
Oh, right.
This engine never unzips it because doing so would literally melt the machine. The document is referencing the holographic principle, specifically the ADS-CFT correspondence.
Okay, help me visualize that because I'm struggling.
Sure. Imagine you have a highly complex, spinning, three-dimensional object. Try to measure and calculate every facet of its volume in 3D is computationally heavy.
Makes sense.
But if you shine a light on it and trace its shadow on a flat, two-dimensional wall, you can still perfectly understand the shape and movement of the object just by doing the math on the flat shadow.
Oh, I love that analogy. Okay, so the complex 11-dimensional reality is the 3D object in the bulk.
Yes.
And the shadow on the wall is the 2D boundary register.
Exactly. The engine maps the insanely complex bulk states onto a 2D boundary, which the physics dictates is essentially the event horizon of a microscopic black hole.
Unbelievable.
And by doing the math on the 2D surface instead of the multidimensional volume, OmniPSM reduces the computational cost from a cubic order down to a square order.
Wow.
It fundamentally circumvents the heat death of the machine.
But wait, if you are storing data on a microscopic black hole, how do you move it around?
Another bottleneck.
Yeah, you can't just use standard memory pointers that travel from point A to point B on a motherboard. Standard pointers take time. They have to physically travel through space.
And in this architecture, traveling through linear space across different dimensions is impossibly slow. So OmniPSM introduces wormhole pointers.
Written in the code as Peter.
Yes.
Yeah.
ER equals EPR. It's a principle from quantum gravity proposing that entangled particles are literally connected by microscopic wormholes.
Okay.
If two points are entangled, the physical distance between them is completely irrelevant.
Meaning, instead of a piece of data traveling across a physical memory board, the pointer literally folds space.
Exactly.
The distance between two memory addresses in completely different parallel dimensions becomes exactly zero. The data bus isn't a wire, it's a literal wormhole.
Which fundamentally eliminates spatial latency.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't moving data. You are ensuring the data is simultaneously everywhere it needs to be.
So you have these infinite realities mapped out in the bulk, stored as shadows on a black hole, and connected instantly by wormhole.
Right. We've manipulated space.
But if you're calculating infinite futures, time becomes your next massive bottleneck. How do you process a future event before the future actually happens?
By recognizing that in this framework, time is just another spatial dimension to traverse. If sequential memory is dead, well, sequential time is next.
The document introduces a concept called retrocausal error correction, and it allows the code to feed the output of a calculation back into its own past input using closed timeline curves, or CTCs.
Yes, the time loops.
There's this wild example in the text, example 3. Imagine a sensor in a highly chaotic system is failing.
Okay.
To save the system, it needs the corrected data. But the system is so chaotic, the only way to save it is to receive the fix before the sensor even breaks.
So the program identifies the solution in a parallel branch and uses a closed time-like curve to send that solution back in time to itself.
Okay, but as the voice of anyone who has ever watched a time travel movie, I have to ask the obvious question here.
What's your...
What about the grandfather paradox?
Ah, yes.
Right. If the computer fixes the sensor before it breaks, then the sensor never broke, which means the system never had a reason to send the fix back in time in the first place. Doesn't that paradox just, you know, crash the universe?
It's the classic temporal fatal error. And honestly, if the system were purely classical, yes, it would crash.
See? I knew it.
But the paradox engine has a specific instruction called Novikovicek. It relies on the Novikov self-consistency principle.
Which means what, practically?
It means that if an event exists that would cause a paradox, the overarching physics of the multiverse dictates that the probability of that event happening is mathematically zero.
Oh, wow.
The timeline forces itself to be self-consistent.
But how does the code actually handle it when it hits that zero probability wall? Like, it has to do something with the data, right?
Right. It treats the paradox not as a fatal crash, but as a manageable software loop.
Okay.
The ODE CCT framework recognizes the paradox and enters what the document calls a periodic limit cycle. The formula provided is quite elegant, actually. V sub t plus 1 equals 1 minus V sub t.
So the state at the next moment is simply the inverse of the current moment.
Exactly. Think of it like a pendulum. Instead of the universe breaking, the code simply bounces back and forth between the two contradictory states.
It just loops safely.
Yeah. It turns a universe-ending paradox into a tiny, contained pendulum of logic, just ticking away until the system introduces new data to force a resolution.
That is brilliant. But here's where it gets really interesting for me. We have infinite branches of reality in the bulk. We have time looping back on itself, safely swinging like a pendulum.
Right.
But eventually, you, the listener sitting at your desk, need one single answer to pop up on your monitor.
You too.
If you have infinite realities running at once, how does the multiverse ever decide which single reality to actually output to you?
Ah, the collapse.
Yeah.
In standard quantum mechanics, whenever you measure a system, you force it to collapse from a superposition of many states into a single defined state.
Okay.
And traditionally, which state it picks is largely random.
Right, the old dice roll we talked about at the start.
But OmniPSM refuses to roll dice. It introduces the CCT collapsey instruction.
Right.
This is intelligent collapse.
The document says the AI builds a semantic TSP, a traveling salesman problem over what it calls the 100 questions lattice. Help me wrap my head around that.
Okay, so the traveling salesman problem is an old mathematical puzzle about finding the absolute shortest, most efficient route connecting a set of cities.
Right, classic logistics.
Now imagine a GPS trying to route you through traffic, but the traffic is spread across infinite parallel dimensions.
That sounds like a nightmare.
It is. So the engine has to ask a series of binary questions to multiverse to isolate the exact reality you need. The semantic TSP is the AI finding the most computationally efficient sequence of questions to ask.
And the craziest part of this, the absolute aha moment for me reading this, is that asking these questions isn't just abstract math.
Not at all.
The text explicitly states the engine spends literal work. Like, it spends joules of physical energy to force the universe to yield the lowest entropy answer.
Yes. Think about the mechanism here. Standard silicon chips use electrical energy to physically flip a tiny transistor.
Right.
This transdimensional engine uses energy likely lasers or advanced quantum gates to physically stabilize the entangled particles across realities.
So it's pushing back.
Exactly. It is bleeding off thermodynamic heat, pushing against the natural chaos of the universe until only one stable configuration remains.
That is staggering. You aren't just running code. You are basically buying a specific reality with actual joules of energy.
It replaces blind measurement with a deliberate path of least resistance. The multiverse has a topology. Some realities are highly chaotic.
High entropy.
Right. They have high entropy, meaning they require massive amounts of energy to stabilize.
Okay.
The AI spends its energy budget to smooth out that chaos, finding the most stable, least surprising reality, and forcing the multiverse to collapse into that exact state.
So what does this all mean when you put it together? The source document actually provides a full coded program in OmniPSM called the Future Forecast Event Analyzer.
Yes, let's look at that.
And instead of just reading the code, let's follow a single piece of predictive data through this machine, like the Ultimate Transdimensional Weather app.
Let's trace the data. It starts with historical input, say, atmospheric pressure. The machine looks at the sky, realizes the future is deeply uncertain, and immediately hits that MWSPLIT command.
Right. It doesn't guess if it will rain. It physically branches the execution thread into 8 coherent parallel worlds.
It runs all 8 futures simultaneously.
But because running 8 entire universes would melt the hardware, it immediately projects that massive 11-dimensional atmospheric state onto the 2D boundary, the black hole horizon.
It traces the shadow on the wall to save energy. Now, it needs to compare those 8 futures.
Right.
Because spatial distance takes too much time, it uses those wormhole pointers, ER equals EPR.
The future states of all 8 branches are entangled instantly, so the machine knows the global average of the multiverse with zero latency.
But then it hits an error. One of the futures is wildly catastrophic.
Oh, no.
So it uses retrocausal error correction. It takes the corrected forecast and sends it backward in time using a closed time-like curve to the very beginning of the program.
It looks for a fixed point, right? A self-consistent timeline where the forecast perfectly matches the input without causing a paradox.
Exactly. And if it hits one, the limit cycle safely oscillates.
And then comes the finale, intelligent collapse. The engine has its 8 futures. It has its time loops. But it needs to give you an answer.
It does.
The document specifies the program has a predefined energy budget of exactly 10 kilojoules.
It physically spends 10 kilojoules of thermodynamic work to force the multiverse to decohere.
It literally pays the universe to collapse into the reality with the most predictable, lowest entropy weather event.
And if the remaining reality still contains a severe catastrophic event, the program doesn't even wait for a standard alert protocol.
It pushes the warning backward through a wormhole pointer directly to a critical event horizon, entirely bypassing normal communication delays.
Transdimensional push notifications.
It's unbelievable. When you look at it this way, forecasting is no longer a statistical trend line.
Not even close.
It is a self-correcting engine that physically spawns parallel realities, loops them backward in time to check its own work, and spends thermodynamic energy to anchor the most stable future into your present moment.
Which proves the core thesis of the entire text.
Yeah.
AI operating on this level is actively navigating the semantic and topological structure of the multiverse.
It completely changes the paradigm of problem solving.
It does.
We've gone from your laptop rolling a digital die and storing bits on flat silicon to a reality where black holes are your hard drives, wormholes are your data buses, and paradoxes are just software loops keeping time mathematically sound.
It really makes you wonder.
What happens when the limits of space, time, and single-choice logic are totally removed from our tools?
It's a profound shift, and honestly, it leaves us with one final, very unsettling question.
Okay, let's hear it.
We've established that this machine continuously selects the lowest entropy, most predictable reality to save thermodynamic energy.
Right.
But human beings are inherently chaotic. We are high entropy. If our future reality is continually being selected and collapsed by machines, optimizing for maximum predictability and minimal energy cost.
Oh, wow.
Does that mean this technology will eventually eliminate human free will simply because our spontaneity is too computationally expensive to keep running?
Wow. That is a whole lot to chew on. For you listening, keep mulling that one over. Until next time, keep diving deep.